I'm running for my life, running 'cause I wanna see Christ. I made up in my mind, I'm gonna run on while I still have time. I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run, I am gonna run, I'm gonna run. Oh, while the blood is running warm, when these eyes our minds are closed and the blood in my veins is cold, when I step out of life's back door, I won't be able, y'all, to run no more. I'm gonna run while I still have time. I'm gonna run, won't stop now, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna run. Oh, while the blood is running warm in my, when I hear the church bells toll, I stop and wonder, Lord, how long? When I see those hearse wheels rolling too, I stop and tell myself, boy, that could have been you. I'm gonna run, I am gonna run. Mountains get high, I'm gonna run. Valleys get low, I'm gonna run. Steps get slow, I'm gonna run. Bills are due, I'm gonna run. Friends get few, I'm gonna run. Rest of my life, I'm gonna run. Oh, I'm gonna run. Run, 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 I gotta run, 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 I'm gonna run, 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 I gotta run, 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 I'm gonna run, 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 I'm gonna run, 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 gotta run, run. Oh, while the blood is running warm in my veins.
Amen. Amen. You better run while the blood is still running warm in our veins. Amen. Let's just thank God that we can run. Let's just thank God we got another day. Let's just thank God that even though things might have not been like we wanted to yesterday, the fact that he gave us today means we got another chance. Thank you, Lord. We're going to run. We're going to do his will. We're going to work while it's day, because night is coming when nobody to work. So while we have the chance, we got to praise his name. While we have the chance, we got to read his word. While we have the chance, we got to treat somebody right. While we have the chance, let me get real now, we got to learn to forgive somebody. Yeah, they did us wrong, but we still got to forgive them. Why? Because he said so. While we have the chance, We got to give somebody something to help them, even if it's nothing more than a kind word, because we don't ever know that Lord is not using you or me to keep somebody from going somewhere and taking their own lives. I'm not exaggerating when I say that, church family. You don't know whose life God has used you to impact in a positive way, and it turned their life around, even though you weren't all you were supposed to be. Amen. It wasn't about that. It was the fact that you wanted to be obedient and you made yourself available. So God used you and he used me in spite of ourselves. So while we have the time, running just simply means walking on that straight and narrow path best we can and trusting God to help us. Amen. Let's thank the Lord again for this choir. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we now go to you and we just ask that you use me as you will to share this word with your people in no form or fashion, because, Lord, I'm always conscious that I'm really preaching to an audience of one, and that's you, Jehovah God. May you be pleased with the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Give an honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the leadership of this church family, leadership and responsibility, deacons, trustees, auxiliary heads, certainly to all of our wonderful members here at Roanoke-Salem, and to those who are visiting, we love you. And again, we thank God that you saw it fit to come and worship with us, because we know there are a lot of other places you could be on this morning, but thank you for being here with us. Let those folks in, please, behind you there. Amen. Matter of fact, while he's doing it, ushers, y'all can be seated. Thank you. Church family, we're going to not be before you long, because I do want us to come back and be ready for this afternoon. And we're really looking forward to this afternoon. But right now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, right after the first book of the Old Testament, Genesis, the very next one is Exodus, chapter 33. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. Book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 12 through 17. I thank the Lord for my sisters in Christ who are here supporting, as they always are when they can be here. Talked to Reverend Freeman on yesterday, and we're actually Friday. And he's still doing well. He has to be very thoughtful about how much time he spends out and about. So he said to me he didn't know for sure he was going to be here today, and he's not, but that's okay. Still praying for him and asking the Lord to bless him. Exodus chapter 33, verses 12 through 17. I'm going to read this from the King James. A lot of times I use the NIV, but the King James really has the language that I want us to concentrate on this morning. Exodus 33, beginning with verse number 12. Moses said to the Lord, And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou saith unto me, this is Moses talking to the Lord, Lord, you said to me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. 13, now therefore I pray thee, this is Moses still talking to Jehovah God, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And the Lord said to Moses, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said back to the Lord, verse 15, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If you're not going to be with us, Lord, don't lead us anywhere. Verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. How are people going to know we've got grace in your sight, Lord, if it is not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And then finally, verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Church family and visiting friends, just for a very, very few minutes, please let us reason together from this thought. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. You all know that for at least a week before Hurricane Florence touched the shores of North and South Carolina, the weather experts told people all over the world. They said, this is going to be the storm of a lifetime. The meteorologist said that when Florence reached land, it could likely be a Category 5 storm. Category 5 storm has the most powerful winds and heavy rains. There was a very real possibility that many people could die because of this storm. It was almost a certainty that there would be hundreds of millions of dollars in damages to public and private property. Some state governors declared a state of emergency days ahead of Florence. In our state, Governor Roy Cooper, he ordered mandatory evacuations in some areas. Y'all know that. Y'all watch the news. Emergency officials urged citizens to get prepared early. Across the state, some citizens moved as far away from the path of the storm as they could, while others boarded up their homes and they boarded up businesses and properties. People quickly bought or made emergency kits, and they got their food and their water and gas for our generators and our vehicles. Amen? State officials were justified. They were absolutely justified to try to make us take this storm seriously. We don't have to think very far back and remember the devastating hurricanes, Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Katrina. Weather experts were not exaggerating. They weren't exaggerating in the least when they told us that what their weather gauging instruments were telling them. They were not trying to scare us. The meteorologists and emergency officials wanted us to fully appreciate the danger, Evelyn, we would be in if Florence did what it was predicted to do. Amen. So they weren't exaggerating. They weren't trying to scare us. They were telling us the truth. But I thank Jehovah God for giving mankind so much knowledge about the weather. I thank God that man can accurately predict the weather most of the time. I thank God for the first responders, the folks in the military, law enforcement, EMTs, power company employees. Some of y'all right here do these things. Thank God for people who keep hospitals and clinics and shelters open and open churches and those who keep folks have to still go into the prisons and look after the prison population. Even during a storm, they don't get to stay home. I thank God for all these folks who are willing to risk their lives to try to save and help you and me if needed. But most of all, I thank God for his mercy and his grace. In this immediate area of northeastern North Carolina, Hurricane Florence did not have the impact that the weathermen predicted it would have. Be very clear. Be very clear. I'm not knocking them at all. The weather experts did not lie. They weren't lying. Like I said, they weren't trying to scare us. They weren't exaggerating. They told us what they were able to see and understand. They know, and we know, that no man has any control over what Florence would do. But Christians know that Jehovah God has control over all the weather, all the time. Amen. Amen. From the moment we learned that Florence was coming our way, the body of Christ, you and me, here and all over the world, we began praying. We began believing God for his grace to change our situation. In this particular situation, God poured out his grace. as he answered our prayers. True Christians didn't just pray for ourselves. We asked God to be gracious to everybody who was in the path of the storm. Why? Because true Christians know that God's grace is available to sinners as well as saints. Matter of fact, how did you get to be a saint? You was a sinner first. I was a sinner first. So if his grace wasn't available to everybody, none of us would be saved right now. Amen. Amen. The proof of what I said is found in Exodus 33:19. I want you to look at that right now. Right where we are, same book, same chapter. Go down to verse number 19. If you don't believe that God's grace is available to everybody, sinners as well as saints, look at what the Lord himself told Moses. He told Moses, I'll be gracious to whoever I choose to be gracious to. And I'll be merciful to whomever I choose to be merciful to. Amen. So God's grace is available to everybody all the time. Amen. By the time Florence reached North Carolina, by the time Florence reached our coast, it has surprisingly and dramatically decreased in its sustained size and power. Yes, there are some areas, and we know it this morning, experiencing heavy flooding. Yes, there are homes and buildings that have been damaged or destroyed. And yes, it's very unfortunate. But yes, some lives have been lost. And we pray for the families of those who have lost their lives. But if we think about what Florence has done thus far, compared to what it was predicted to do, we can still say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. I believe the only reason there has not been greater flooding, greater wind damage, greater loss of life is because of God's grace. The Vines Expository Dictionary defines that word grace as charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. I think that's how you pronounce it. But it means a kindly act that is lovingly or freely given. That's what God's grace is. It's a kindly act from God that is lovingly and freely given. Let me say it the way you all have heard me say it before, and it ain't no special definition. It don't belong to me. I don't know who said it, but I'm going to claim it. God's grace is when he gives us something that we don't deserve. His mercy is when he withholds from us what we do deserve. But his grace is when he gives us something that we don't deserve. When he performs a kind act in a loving way, and he gives it freely. Please look at me real quickly at these five verses in Exodus 33. And I promise I'll be brief. I'll get out your way. Go to Exodus 33. Look at these five verses. Beginning verse 12 and 13. Here we find Moses asking God to reassure him that God will be with him as Moses leads the Israelites to the promised land. Now the question should quickly come to mind. What more does God need to do? What more does he need to do for Moses? He was with Moses when he led God's people out of slavery in Egypt. God was the one who killed Pharaoh and his armies so that they couldn't torture and kill and persecute the Israelites anymore. God was the one that saved Moses' life when he was a child. Amen. Y'all know the story. Moses was put in a basket by his mother because the Pharaoh had said he wanted to kill all the boy babies. And his mother put him in a basket on the Nile River full of piranhas and crocodiles. And God saved his life. Amen. God was with Moses when Moses killed an Egyptian who had killed one of his brother Hebrews, and he escaped the punishment for that murder. Now, let me be very clear. He didn't get away, but he escaped. See, because justice would have been for Moses to have been caught, and then he would have been killed. God allowed him to escape justice, but he still dealt with him. Moses didn't spend 40 years on the backside of that mountain just because he wanted to. That was part of his punishment. God was dealing with Moses. When Moses went to lead the people out of Egypt, he was 85 years old. Moses could have gone at 40. Moses could have gone at 50. Moses could have gone at 67. No, but God let him have them first 40 years on the backside of that mountain tending his father-in-law's sheep to humble him and to deal with his attitude. Amen. So Moses escaped being punished for killing that Egyptian, but he didn't get away. Same thing with us. God in his grace may withhold from us, that's his mercy, withholding from us what we really deserve. And in his grace, after he finishes disciplining us, he'll still use us to his glory. Amen. So what more did Moses expect God to do? But here it is that Moses is asking God for even greater grace. We're like Moses sometimes. We want God sometimes to continuously prove himself to us. And I'm so glad God understands us. Because it would make you mad. Well, you know, you've had children. You've been a child. You got a husband or a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend. You got family members and friends. They get on your nerves sometimes. Because you wonder, what more do you want me to do? And children are especially good for this, and they don't mean no harm. But children will keep asking and asking and asking and asking until you finally say no. And as long as you say yes, they're going to keep on asking. So Moses is no different than you and me. Sometimes with all God has already done for us, sometimes we still want him to show us even greater grace one more time. But I'm glad he doesn't lose his patience with us like we lose our patience with each other. Sometimes we even lose patience with God. Be for real. Let's keep moving. Verses 14 and 15 and 16. God doesn't get mad with Moses, not at all. He tells Moses he'll be with him and give him rest. That means I'm going to give you peace of mind, Moses. When God said to Moses, Moses, not only am I going to be with you, I'm going to give you peace of mind. I'm going to make you be okay with whatever's going to happen as we move forward. I'm going to give you that peace of mind. It's important to understand that a benefit of God's grace is peace. Peace that goes beyond man's ability to understand. Let me tell you about peace in real time with real people. Last week, before this storm got to our coast, I had three separate conversations. I had one with my daughter, April. I had one with Stevie. And I had one with Corey Phillips sitting right back there. And all of them, these are three separate conversations, not connected to each other in any way. All of them said to me that they had made preparations for the hurricane, but they were not worried about the hurricane coming. Oh, they said, but I'm not worried about it. Why? Because they said they were resting in the peace of God. They said, we know that God is going to take care of us. That's when you know you're resting in God's peace. And I thank God that I had those three separate conversations, because that was all confirmation of this word right here this morning. Psalm 4 says, I will lie down and sleep, even in a hurricane, because you alone, O Lord, you keep me safe. Peace of mind is one of the benefits of God's grace. Moses says, still in verses 14, 15, and 16, Moses says, God, if you're not with me, don't send me to lead these folks anywhere. Amen. God, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go. I ain't mad at Moses on that one now. Now that I know what I know, about God, if God ain't in it, I don't need to be part of it either. And if God is not sending you, you don't need to go. Amen. But here's the good part. If God is in it, if God is leading you to it, he's going to be with you all the way. He's already gone ahead of you to remove some obstacles that may come in your path as you walk in whatever it is he's called you to walk into. So when God is for you, he's always with you. Let me get to verse 17. We get ready to go home. God responds to Moses' request in three ways. Verse 17, you read it for yourself. God responds to Moses' request. What was his request? God, let me see your grace. Show me your grace. If I have grace in your sight, let me see more grace. And Lord, I want to make sure you're with me. So God responds in verse 17, three ways. First of all, he says, Moses, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Ask God for what you want. Ask God for what you want. I can't say it any more simple, or no need to try to be overly dramatic. I didn't say God's going to always give you what you want. I said God says it's okay for us to ask him for what we want and then trust him for what we need. Amen. That's the first way. Then number two, still in verse 17, God said to Moses, you have found grace in my sight. As long as you have God's grace, it doesn't matter what people think about you. As long as you have God's grace, as long as you have found grace in God's eyes, William, don't worry about what I think about you. I didn't wake you up this morning. I didn't let you work all those years over there in Emporia and come home and retire. I didn't give you not $1 one day to drive back and forth to get to where you wanted to go. I didn't help you find Miss Jean and marry her. I ain't had nothing to do with none of that. So it don't matter what I think. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter what you think either about me. As long as you have God's grace, it doesn't matter what people think about you. Here's the third thing that God said to Moses, still in verse number 17. So first he said, I'm going to do what you ask. You have grace in my sight. Then he said, Moses, I know you by your name. Moses, I know you by your name. God has grace for specific people in specific situations. God has grace for specific people in specific situations. I know that's right, because in Isaiah verse chapter 26, verse 3, Isaiah wrote, he said, Lord, you will keep the person in perfect peace. I already told you peace was one of the benefits of grace. Here it is again. Isaiah said, Lord, you'll keep a person in perfect peace, the person whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because you know that person trusts you. Lord, if a person keeps their mind stayed on you, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the trouble, in spite of what's going on, Lord, if we'll keep our minds still saying, thank you, Lord, glory to God. God, I know you're a protector. God, I know you're a provider. God, I know you're a healer. Lord, if we'll keep our minds stayed on you, in spite of our circumstances, you will keep us in perfect peace. Why? Because we trust you. Amen. If you're willing to be honest with yourself and with God, you know there have been some times in your life and my life, even now, when God has given you his grace in a way that was specific to your situation. Amen. Can we be real for each other for just a couple of minutes? Amen. Can we be real? You know you weren't always the most qualified, but you still got the job. You know you were not always the most experienced, but you still got the promotion. You know you weren't always the most elegant speaker, but you still got selected to be the spokesperson for the company. Come on now. You know you were not always the most popular, but you still got elected to the position you were trying to get elected to. Amen. You know you were not always the most beautiful or the most handsome, but you still married the person that everybody else wanted. Amen. Amen. God's grace given us something in a loving way freely that we don't deserve. Amen. True Christians would tell everybody that we haven't earned or deserved the good things in our lives. We've done what we've done, and we have what we have by God's grace. It was God's grace that allowed you to retire in good health from your job and get that pension check every month. Amen. It was God's grace that protected you from all the traps and snares folks tried to catch you in. Amen. I know that's right, because there's a song that says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. But look, here's the verse that pertains to this right here. He said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe this far, and it's grace that'll lead me home. Oh, I know that's right. It was God's grace that opened doors of opportunities for you, even when somebody else was better prepared. It was God's grace that allowed somebody to forgive you, even though you did them wrong. Come on now. It ain't always about folks doing us wrong. Church folk will stand up and testify in a minute. Yeah, they did me wrong, and the Lord blessed me, and I forgave them. Well, what about all the time somebody had to forgive you for that mess you did back before you got saved and sanctified?
and laid aside for the Lord. It was God's grace that woke you up this morning in a do right mind. It was God's grace that made sure that we still had a home. We had food. We had clothes. We had cars and money, not more than what we need, but enough for what we need and enough to help somebody else. That's all God's grace. Here's the greatest example of God's grace. Stay right there, DeVito, because I'm going home for real this time. Here's the greatest example of God's grace towards all mankind. Anybody can be saved from dying in sin and going to hell by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the greatest example of God's grace. Giving us something that we don't deserve. Giving it to us freely. And giving it to us in a loving way. I know that's right because Ephesians chapter 2 verse number 8 says, and this is from the NIV. He says, for it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. And not this from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. It was God's grace towards us that allowed him to sacrifice his son, Jesus Christ, so we could be reconciled for all eternity. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus being that sacrifice for you and me. See, because Jesus did what he did by God's grace. Jesus went up on Golgotha's hill by God's grace because he was thinking about giving us something that we didn't deserve. Jesus let them put him on that cross and nail him in his hands and in his feet by God's grace because he wanted to give us something that we didn't deserve. Glory, I didn't earn it, but he gave it to me anyway, Brenda. It was God's grace that let him stay on that cross. It was God's grace that let him pierce him in his side. It was God's grace that made him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was thinking about every one of us wanting to give us something that we didn't deserve and that we couldn't earn. It was God's grace that they put him in that borrowed tomb. It was by his grace that he stayed there all the rest of Friday and Friday night. It was by God's grace that he stayed there Saturday morning, midday, and Saturday night. And it was by God's grace that early on that Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power in heaven, on earth, under the earth. Jesus got up with all power entrusted in his hands so that you and I can put our faith in him and our souls will be saved. That all happened by God's grace. If God has done anything for you, if you can see God's grace in any aspect of your life, won't you just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah to your name. It was God's grace. Sing that song. Sing that song for us, y'all. Come on, sing that song for us. We got to hear that one. It was God's grace. God's, and it's still God's grace that we're here right now. Looking good. Feeling good. Doing good and ready to be a blessing to somebody else. God's grace. Come on, come on.
All these years.
Yes, sir.
I make it this far. Through the valley and over the hills. I knew it had to be God. I make it through the storm. I make it through the rain. If you wanna know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace. God's grace. God's grace. God's grace. I made it this far by the grace of God. Lord, I thank you for how you brought me, how you brought me through the night. Lord, you kept me and you never left me. You stood by my side. There were so many times when I came so close. Old man death tried to take me in. But the reason I'm here is not hard for me to see. In fact, it's so easy for me to explain. It was God's grace, God's grace, God's grace, His amazing grace. I made it this far by the grace of God. I remember the time when I strayed away. Even though I knew the word, still I wouldn't obey. But His grace and mercy, and His grace and mercy brought me all the way. Anybody wanna know just how I got here? Anybody wanna know why I'm still standing here today? 'Cause I made it this far by the grace of God. As I look back now, down through the years, I had to shed so many tears. But I made it this far by the grace of God.
Amen. God's grace. This is a great Sunday in spite of everything else. This is a great Sunday to give your life to the Lord Jesus. You have made it this far, even in sin. Even in sin, you've made it this far by God's grace.